You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Be sure to tune into News Channel 5 tomorrow night at 7 for a special edition of the Dog Pound Report, one-hour draft special leading up to the 2015 NFL Draft. Matt Wilhelm will be with the prospects on the gold carpet. I will be bringing you reports as well from the side of the 2015 NFL Draft. Let's go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now and bring in Eric Galko, the owner and editor of Optimum Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Optimum Scouting, and the website is OptimumScouting.com, also the lead draft writer for the Sporting News. Eric, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys?
Not too much. Eric, let's talk Marcus Mariota for a second. The big story today is that ESPN simultaneously reporting that the Browns have made an offer to move up with Tennessee for Marcus Mariota, and also that the Browns have not made an offer to move up for Marcus Mariota. Let's just talk about him as a prospect. Can he just come in and start for you? Is he a developmental guy? And in your opinion, is he the kind of guy that you would mortgage multiple first-round picks to have on your team?
Yeah, I think to start, he's not a guy you want to play right away. I think athletically and arm talent-wise, he could if he needs to. But the big thing with Mariota, and also for Winston to some extent, you want these guys to kind of figure out the nuances of the position. For Winston, it's more of a technique fundamentals issue. For Mariota, it's kind of adjusting from a college offense that a lot of spread concepts and no huddle to more of a pro-style offense. So I think Mariota could play right away, but the best situation for him would be to be behind a veteran for at least the first half of the year, ideally most of his rookie year, and not be forced to play. I think he has a lot of upside. I think Mariota is the better quarterback of the two guys. I think off the field, mentally, he's a better Jameis Winston. Certainly not as pro-ready in a lot of areas, especially come back from a shotgun, come back from a dropback, and kind of placing the ball on the outside. It's certainly anticipation he's behind Winston. But in terms of upside, I think he's worth somewhat investing in the future and mortgaging a bit of the future to get a guy like that. The question for the Browns is, A, is 12-19 enough to get the Titans pick at number two overall? And B, do they have to move out from Johnny Manziel now if they get Mariota? Is it worth doing, sacrificing two first-round picks and maybe more to get a guy like Mariota that can't play right away?
Right, and that's the real question. And in your evaluation of Johnny Manziel last year, Mariota this year, are they close as prospects in your mind? It seems they face some of the same developmental hurdles. Now, obviously, Mariota better off the field, bigger. But are they similar? And if you've already invested in Johnny Manziel, do you then need to make an even more substantial investment in a guy like Mariota?
Yeah, myself and our staff at Optimum Scouting gave Johnny Manziel a second or third round grade last year, and a lot of that depended on the situation he landed in. Going in a situation where the pressure was often both media-wise and starting-wise, I think he'd be a good situation. The Browns tried to give him that, but it really didn't take too well with Johnny Manziel based on the offseason issues he's had. So I think Mariota is certainly a superior prospect in most ways of Johnny Manziel, certainly size. The college system probably identical in terms of developing a little bit, but Mariota doesn't have any physical concerns or arm talent concerns like Johnny Manziel did a little bit. So I think Mariota is certainly a superior prospect. And I think most important to keep in mind now is that this rookie wage scale gets these quarterbacks and all these first-round picks on a deal for 4 years. That's very reasonable. So you're better off, instead of investing in, you know, 5 years ago with Jamarcus Russell, you were forced to have him a lot of money for 5 years. Now these quarterbacks are a little bit more reasonable. You can kind of take some chances and kind of find the right one until you get one. So I think for the Browns, if they don't believe Manziel is the guy long-term, which I don't think he is, and the Browns maybe agree with that, getting Mariota for two first-round picks, maybe he's worth it for them, as long as they have a plan in place to develop him, to not rush him, let Josh McCown play the first part of the season, and get Mariota ready to go for 2016 rather than 2015.
Eric, you've got in your most recent mock draft the Cleveland Browns taking Danny Shelton. I'd just like to see, you know, why he your perspective on why he makes sense for the Cleveland Browns, and also to when you watch tape on him, what jumped off the film for you?
Yeah, I think in terms of the fit with the Browns, it makes a lot of sense because they certainly need to bulk up their front three, and this is a team that wasn't far off in the playoffs last year if you kind of take back some injuries, and they were hot for a little while there. So I think adding kind of a safe guy to fill this team and not rock the boat too much with their first round pick, Danny Shelton makes a lot of sense to that when you factor in that Phil Taylor is a free agent after the year and kind of slides him right away to replace him. And makes sense. For Shelton, he's certainly one of the safer guys in this draft class. As a nose tackle who's 320, 325, if not more, he doesn't have any motor questions, which is always huge for nose tackles. So finding a nose tackle who can eat up two gaps, not have motor issues, and play at a regular weight, that's a huge value for Shelton right then and there. He's a guy I think can take advantage of one-on-one situations as a pass rusher, but most importantly, he can eat up blocks very well, plays away from his frame, and can allow other players around him to have success with one blocker or no blockers around them. So Shelton's a guy that makes the rest of your defense better, and hopefully a guy like Shelton can improve the production of guys like Barkevious Mingo and other young players on this defense.
When you look at this Browns team, you have Shelton there. Of the wide receivers that could be available to them at 19 or 43, who do you like for the Browns in this draft?
Yo, You know, I think Rashad Perriman's certainly interesting. And as Josh Gordon's moving on, Perriman has drawn a lot of comparisons from people I've talked to in the league to Josh Gordon because of the fact that out of Baylor, Josh Gordon didn't really show a lot of route development, had some issues with concentration catches. A lot of the issues Perriman has right now, and Josh Gordon was a great success in Cleveland when he was in the field. So I think Perriman kind of replacing Josh Gordon makes a lot of sense. At 19, I think he should be there. Maybe goes a bit early, but if they want him, they can get him at 19. There's a lot of receiver options down the road. If they want to add a top slot receiver, Nelson Agholor, who might not be available in the second round, maybe should be, would be a great fit. I think I like Trey McBride of William & Mary. Also got to watch. He's a great slot guy. Can play outside, too. Looking for a slot guy with some vertical speed to complement the two guys they added for agency. Any of those guys make a lot of sense to me.
Eric, a couple of the fallers most recently in the NFL draft have been Randy Gregory simply because of that positive test at the combine, and most recently, Shane Ray. How far do you have these guys falling?
Yeah, I think they're different prospects in terms of their off-field issues because Shane Ray, the foot injury kind of brought him down a little bit. This most recent marijuana possession charge that just happened a few days ago is more of an issue because he's now in the substance abuse program. But from all I've heard, marijuana use wasn't an issue with Shane Ray. It was an issue for Randy Gregory. I had heard about marijuana use potentially affecting his play in season before the whole positive drug test came out. Then you had the fact that Gregory tested positive at the NFL Combine, knowing he would get tested, and some attitude questions, some effort questions toward the end of his senior year at Nebraska. A lot of issues with Randy Gregory that kind of adds up to a lot of reasons you think he might be a bust. So I think Randy Gregory is a top pass rusher in this class on the field. Most scouts agree with that. But he has a lot of issues off the field and kind of screams a lot of bust characteristics. Shane Ray's a guy I don't think is the same level as Gregory or Vic Beasley or Alvin Dupree as an athlete. He produced in college. I wonder if he'll produce at the NFL level. I don't think either guy is a lock for the first round. And the question is, when you look at pick 25 through 32, what team's going to both take a chance on a characteristic guy and really needs a pass rusher that badly? I don't see a lot of fit, so I can see both guys falling out of the top 32 picks.
What do you think about the defensive lineman? If it isn't Danny Shelton for the Browns, we've heard names like Malcolm Brown, Eddie Goldman, Jordan Phillips. Talk about the differences between those guys.
Yeah, Malcolm Brown's a perfect fit for the Browns, especially at 19 if they don't go Danny Shelton, because he can play nose tackle, he can play five technique. He really is kind of a developmental guy that he can fit wherever you want him to fit him. You want to add 20 pounds to him, he can play nose tackle, he can play a five technique and really get penetration. That's his best characteristic, is that he can split double teams at a high level, finish tackles in the backfield, a lot of upside there. Eddie Goldman's more of a five technique guy if they want to add a five technique. Obviously, John Hughes for the future, he makes a lot of sense, but I think they want to add a nose tackle guy or somebody who's going to have value there. That's kind of where Goldman fits in. And Jordan Phillips maybe has the most upside of all the defensive tackles in this draft class outside of Leonard Williams, but some injury concerns, some motor question marks, and guy that really got a race in a couple games this year at Oklahoma, he's a little bit of a reach, I think, in the top 19 picks despite having the talent to do so. So if they want to add a nose tackle, Shelton and Malcolm Brown, the two guys I think are the best fits. I personally think Malcolm Brown's a better prospect, as is Eddie Goldman. I think Shelton's a much safer guy and can play nose tackle right away.
Eric, a guy that's shooting up the board as running back Todd Gurley. Talk to us personally on how you think about Gurley, and then also, too, why he'd be a good fit here in Cleveland, even though we'd have Terrence West, a third-rounder last year, and the emergence of Isaiah Crowell as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, I think a lot of teams like Gurley a lot. I know some teams have him as the top five prospect in this class. We do as well at Optimum Scouting. But I don't know exactly how teams feel about his knee injury. And the bigger question mark is not only will he play week one, but will his whole rookie year kind of be, you're worried about him, you want to play him too much, and really be a wasted rookie year in a lot of ways. So that's a question teams have. But on the field, he looks like Adrian Peterson when he's healthy. And that value to a team is more important than, for the Minnesota Vikings especially, than having a number one receiver. So getting Gurley is like getting an Amari Cooper, if not more, in terms of your offensive production. So I think he's worth a top 10 pick if his injury checks out. I know some teams are kind of wavering on that. I think he still goes someplace in the top 14 picks. As for the Browns, Isaiah Crowell has loads of talent. Terrence West played well at Townsend and produced there and certainly had some flashes as a rookie. But I mean, both of these guys have some off-the-field issues. You wonder if they're going to be guys that are going to get a lot better in the NFL if they have the motivation to do so. A lot of question marks with both guys. So I think Todd Gurley, the Browns, they have a couple of their needs to address if they want to kind of win now and challenge for a playoff spot, which isn't unrealistic based on what they did last year. Maybe going a running back at 12 overall or 19 isn't a great fit, but if they want an impact guy to develop either with Johnny Manziel or with their quarterback of the future, you get a safe, solid pick that could be one of the best players, if not the best player in this draft class, then Todd Gurley might make some sense. But I think Todd Gurley is going to be a Dolphin when it's all said and done.
I hope that the Browns do not go running back early. I think they've got some other needs. I want to talk to you about the quarterbacks. Let's say that this doesn't happen, this trading everything to get Mariota. Of that next tier, whether it be Bryce Petty, Brett Hundley, Garrett Grayson, or now we're hearing Sean Mannion being compared to Matt Schaub, kind of sneaking back into that even though he had a disappointing season last year, who do you like from that group of those second-tier quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think Brett Hundley and Garrett Grayson, Brett Hundley of UCLA and Garrett Grayson of Colorado State are the two next guys. Hundley, back as a sophomore, looked the same type of prospect as Marcus Mariota does now, and just really didn't develop at UCLA. The coaching staff didn't trust him. He didn't trust himself, especially his most recent year. There's a lot of tools to work with. I kind of think of him as a Logan Thomas-like prospect last year. Someone's going to get him in the second or third round, kind of stash him away for a year, and hopefully just kind of retool him entirely because he has the arm talent and the skill set and the flash in college to be a very good NFL quarterback if you give him time. So he's our third guy, Garrett Grayson. A lot of comparisons to a Kevin Cobb-type player. I think he could slide into a team, be a solid backup in the right system like Kevin Cobb in Philadelphia. He could be a very strong NFL quarterback, a very good game manager, and a guy who can make plays down the field. Bryce Petty's interesting. I know some teams like him a lot. Other teams think he's more of a sixth, seventh undrafted guy, mostly because he's going to need a full redshirt year in the NFL before you know what he really is. He has the arm talent. He certainly has the measurables you want, but the back injury, the age, and the fact that his offense at Baylor really didn't condone itself to anticipation throws in the NFL at all. You see a lot of throws at Baylor where he's throwing guys that are 20 yards in that direction because he's just basing things pre-snap and not post-snap. So I think the Denver Broncos make a lot of sense, and they have substantial interest because they can put him behind Peyton Manning for a full year. But the Browns, the Bills, teams like that don't make a lot of sense for Bryce Petty.
Tight end, obviously a need for the Browns. 43, is that too early for Max Williams? And if you don't get Max Williams from that Walford-Huerman group, where are the tight end values you see in this draft, somebody that the Browns could get to kind of help be that pass-catching tight end?
Yeah, I think Max Williams might be there at 43. He's the top kind of overall tight end in this draft class because he can block a little bit, he can play in space, he can be used as a slot receiver and has some value in the middle of the field in the red zone. So he's the top tight end for most teams. I like Devin Funchess of Michigan, but I'm not sure he's a great fit for what Cleveland Browns want to do, especially with their tight end after having two bigger guys on the outside. So Max Williams at 43, I think, would be a great fit. Clive Walford of Miami has a lot of interest. I'm told he will go second round. The Bills may be an interesting as well. The Browns will make a lot of sense. They want to have a pass catcher. I'm not personally a huge fan of him. The guy I like a lot, if you're looking for kind of a safe tight end with a lot of athletic upside, Tyler Croft of Rutgers, a guy who did a lot of blocking this year, didn't play with a great quarterback this year, but has loads of upside, loads of talent as a pass catcher, as a seam guy, as a blocking guy, and as an edge pass catcher as well. He's a guy I like a lot in the late second, early third round. Not getting a lot of buzz right now, but I think the Browns can scoop him up in the third round. He could be, at the very least, a safe number two tight end and potentially a high upside number one.
Could a Darren Waller out of Georgia Tech become like an athletic move tight end for you?
It's tough to judge a guy like that because he played receiver in college. He's adding weight, and he looks the part of a guy that could make that transition, but outside of maybe a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, I'm not sure he's worth that kind of value. If you really feel in a private workout, if they had worked him out, or whatever team works him out, feel he can make that tight end switch early, that's intriguing, but you're kind of asking for trouble taking a guy like him. I think the best-case scenario for a guy like Darius Waller, maybe a Joseph Fourier at UCLA going to the Detroit Lions and kind of playing that pass-catching-only role, but outside of that, I think he's not worth a top five-round pick.
All right, last one from me here, looking at the center position, because it's possible that Alex Mack gets out of his deal after this season and the Browns would need somebody there. Cam Irving is really the only lineman I would want the Browns to draft in the first round because I think he could come and start a guard for you and then play center if Mack leaves. But if you don't go Cam Irving early, do you like, you know, Grasso out of Oregon, any of those centers in the middle rounds?
Yeah, on Cam Irving first, I have some pause about him because he really didn't look the part at left tackle at all this year. It was kind of being a fourth or fifth round pick at best as a tackle prospect. Slides into guard where the lateral issues aren't a problem in the NFL, at the college level, and really kind of handled that very well. As guard, I'm not sure I can see him playing guard. I'm not sure he's going to have success there at center. He was great for the second half of this year, but I haven't seen a lot of film on him handling different types, especially bulkier nose tackles. So I have some questions about Cam Irving being a first round pick, even though he's probably going to go there, the Chiefs, I think. But in terms of center, you can't look at regular center rankings. I think Hrannes Rasu is going to be a day three pick, even though he has some buzz right now, just his own blocking guy only. Two guys to watch, A.J. Cann of South Carolina guard, teams have worked him out at center, and Ali Marpet of Hobart, guy that blew up at the Senior Bowl. I talked to people around the league. He has a lot of interest. I have pause. I think he needs a full redshirt in the NFL, just going from D3 to the NFL level. But if you're looking to put him behind Alex Mack for a year and hope to see what you got, a lot of teams like him a lot. He could be a pick in the third round. I think it's a reach, but he's one of the best center prospects in this draft class and a lot of upside to work with.
Your favorite sleeper in this year's draft?
The sleeper, that's tough. I think the guy that's not getting nearly enough buzz that could be a first-round pick, but I think could be the best receiver in this draft class is Jalen Strong of Arizona State. Didn't have a great quarterback to allow him to really develop at the top of his route, but if you're looking for a guy who has the body type to be a dominating downfield threat, like kind of Mike Evans was this year, plus the athletic ability, maybe the best pass catcher in terms of pure hand catching in this draft class. He's our top-rated wide receiver because of his upside. I think he's worth a top 20 pick. If the Browns don't go for Rashad Perriman, he's not a great fit opposite the guys they had in free agency, but I think he has upside to be the best receiver in this draft class in 3 years.
And who do you think of the guys that's getting a lot of hype that you think is the most overrated?
You know, I would have said Shane Ray before this past couple weeks. I think he's kind of calmed down a little bit. But really, he's not a top 10 player on film. I think he's a guy that is a snap-anticipating type player. He did a lot of good work in terms of anticipating snap counts at the college level and getting that first step off offensive lineman. In the NFL, that's not going to be the case. Snap counts are wildly different and a lot more difficult to judge. I think he's going to have a tough time transitioning in the NFL. I think he still goes first round. He's going to be a situational guy in a couple of years. And you look at his athletic testing scores in the NFL Combine, they don't match up to the top guys in this draft class. A lot of issues, I think, laterally with him. Overall athletic ability, I think if he goes in the first round, a strong chance to bust. If he's a second or third round pick, maybe fills that situational role a little better.
What do you think of Dorial Green-Beckham? Is he somebody that if he makes it to 43 and you're the Browns, do you take that shot, or are his off-field red flags for you too great despite the fact that he has loads of talent?
Well, about Green-Beckham, people around him, people at Oklahoma, people at Missouri, people in the draft process. The feel with Green-Beckham is he has to have a strong support group around him. I get the feeling he's not going to change the person. He's not going to be this guy who becomes a great off-field citizen. He's going to always need almost a babysitter or a collection of babysitters to make sure he stays out of trouble, doesn't smoke marijuana, doesn't do anything off the field they have to worry about. And that's a lot of pressure, I think, for a second or third round pick as a team. If you're going to have to babysit a guy and really live in fear for the first five, six, maybe his whole career, if he'll get in off-field trouble, that's a bit of a risk, I think, especially for a Browns team that doesn't have a lot of stable veteran leadership. If I had to guess, I think he's going to be a Seahawk or a 49er. Those are the two teams that make a lot of sense, the 49ers especially, because they have Torrey Smith, who has kind of a similar background with some issues in the past and can really be a mentor. But outside of that, I think those two teams are the only two teams that should look at him and I think will look at him in the second round.
Eric, this has been phenomenal. Thank you so much for your time. I'm sure you're looking forward to seeing what actually happens tomorrow when the draft officially gets underway. But great stuff. You can follow him on Twitter at Optimum Scouting. Check out his website, OptimumScouting.com, and, of course, all his work for the Sporting News as their lead draft writer. Fantastic stuff. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the draft this weekend.
All right. You too. Eric Galko, the owner and editor of Optimum Scouting, courtesy of the Ohio Business Machines hotline. When we come back, more phone calls, 216-578-0850 here. Sean Merriman at 2, Ross Tucker at 2:30. A lot to get to here on CBD. I got my